Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, there were a couple of guys that really put things in perspective Friday afternoon. I got to reach out to the guy from the trucking business. The numbers that he shared when it comes to the, you know, the trucking industry right now from a Montana perspective were just very eye-opening numbers. And so we'll have to see if we can get him on the show here one of these days. But, yeah, Friday afternoon. So we wrapped up our show here 10 a.m. on Friday. And then Friday afternoon, we did a roundtable discussion led by Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, a roundtable discussion. It took place inside the Evergreen Ace Hardware Store in Billings, that kind of Midtown Billings area. There's an Evergreen Cafe inside the hardware store, and we had a great roundtable discussion. We had Jody Etchart, who's a state representative and then also works in healthcare as a PA. We had Jason Small, who's the executive secretary of the Montana AFL-CIO. We had a representative from the Home Builders Association of Billings, a small business owner, Henry Kriegel, our friend from Americans for Prosperity Montana. Of course, Skip King from Ace Hardware was there as well. But a couple of the guys who really, I think, put things in perspective for me. One was Brandon Whitman. Brandon Whitman is the CEO of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. Of course, I'm a member of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. That's how I get my electricity, is through my local co-op, right, like many of you do. But he made a great point. He was talking about how the cost of everything, because of this, you know, because of these government regulations, because of the massive government spending, it's driving up the cost of everything, from bucket trucks to power poles and more. And so even though our guys here on the ground in Montana are making good decisions and making wise decisions, we're still probably going to have to pay for what is happening because of the national economic headwinds, because of what is being thrust upon us at the national level. You know, electricity inflation is up 30% in America here just in recent years because of the massive government spending and the government overreach coming out of Washington, D.C. So no matter how many good decisions my co-op makes at the local level, we're going to end up probably paying more down the road because of the national economic headwinds. You know, same thing in Helena. We might have better leadership in Helena now, making better decisions, putting Montana in a better position than all of these other states out there, but we're facing the national economic headwinds. Turk Stovall, who's a vice president for the Montana Stock Growers Association, he literally just got back from Washington, D.C. He just landed from their meetings in Washington and came and joined us at the roundtable. And he made the point that even though we have high cattle prices right now, we've still probably had over 30% of the cattle that have had to leave the state over the last 3 years because of the heavy input costs that are a result of all this government spending and inflation there. So again, you can't capitalize on the good times in Montana as much because of the national economic headwinds. Anyway, more highlights after this, and then phone lines are open for you.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David J. did a good write-up at KTVQ Television, KTVQ.com, on that inflation roundtable that we had on Friday. And, a lot of these events we've been taking part in thanks to sponsorship from Americans for Prosperity Montana. But here's some numbers that David shared. Inflation is on the rise, with the average household just here in Montana paying $1,100 more per month for goods and services compared to just 3 years ago. $1,100 more per month compared to what you spent 3 years ago. Andrew Lochner, who owns the Evergreen Cafe inside the Evergreen Ace Hardware Store, said their food costs have increased by about 175%. Everything from dairy, meat, poultry, It's been a huge factor. Grocery items such as fruits and vegetables. According to the Joint Economic Committee, the average Montana household has spent $26,000 more due to inflation since January of 2021. You could have bought a camper with the money you've lost under Joe Biden's policies here over the last 3 years. Crazy when you think about it from that perspective, isn't it? Anyway, I'll share more. I was able to catch up with Brandon Whitman after that roundtable. I'll play that audio for you here in a second. But let's get to your phone calls. We've got Tom and Bozeman first up. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, Aaron. I wanted to talk about the cost of owning a home. Just completely going through the atmosphere here. It just soars. Just because of property taxes, home maintenance costs are climbing. But more than that, home insurance premiums are just going through the roof. Rates rose by more than 10% on average in 19 states in 2023. And we've noticed that lately in our own payment for our home insurance costs here, that they're really going through the roof here. So everything's, this goes along with what you're talking about.
Sure.
Inflation. And
yeah.
This is a big part of it here. Mortgages have kind of, kind of tapered off a little bit. They're not quite rising like they were, but other costs are just exploding. So it's becoming a real problem.
Well, it makes sense if the cost of all your input costs are up, the cost to rebuild. I'm assuming it sounds like you probably know more about home insurance than I do. I just pay the stuff, right? But man, it's like, okay, well, if the value of your home goes up, I'm assuming that gets factored into the equation, and then the cost
Absolutely.
Of everything else going up. To rebuild your house, all of that's got to factor into why your insurance costs would go up as well. That's just an assumption on my part, or maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's been a series of big payouts related to floods, storms, wildfires, and other national disasters across the U.S., so that's brought the cost of home insurance up considerably, and that made a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and we had a representative from the, home building industry in Billings, and she talked about that is just like the cost of everything is up. The cost to build is up. Just the cost of regulate. I think I'd have to go back and look at what she had to say, but I think she said 25% of the cost of a home right now is purely because of government red tape, purely because of government regulations.
Yeah.
And then they're driving up your interest rates. I just feel bad for the young families that can't get into a home because of interest rates, the cost, and everything else on top of it. And then you're losing money out of your pocket because of the cost of groceries and everything else. It's just insane. Well, Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, David Noble on the phone lines. Hey, David, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. I was listening this morning to your conversation with Evelyn Pyburn, and her kind of reaction to Friday night at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner with that fireside chat with Tim Sheehy. And I just wanted to call in and kind of reiterate what she said about how kind of her main takeaway was just sort of how real and genuine she got from Tim Sheehy. I mean, the format we had, I mean, I was asking him questions like, hey, give us the most genuine, heartfelt explanation of why you're a conservative. I asked him, hey, I've still got law school student loans. Will you forgive my loans for me?
That was funny, by the way.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little bit different than, just a regular speech or seeing an ad or seeing something like that. And frankly, my first reaction from the whole thing was like, man, this is the real deal. Cause you don't see that, when you see an ad or see him go on Fox News, you don't get that same sort of raw, just genuineness that we all got from Tim Sheehy. Friday night and him talking about how he didn't really want to run and sort of how this whole thing came together. I thought it was really important for me personally. And it sounds like everybody else I've talked to kind of had that same takeaway that this guy's the real deal. And I'm just behind him 100%. And I thought Friday night went well. And I'm basically had a lot of my concerns and questions answered that I had.
Yeah. Well, because I was thinking about it, and David, stand by if you can. David Noble, who is does a great job guest hosting Montana Talks for us from time to time, he did a fireside chat with a Navy SEAL and Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy on Friday night at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. I don't think that portion even started until like 9 o'clock at night. So it was getting late. People were getting restless, and everybody's in the back having conversations. And yet, the moment that Tim Sheehy started telling his story, and more, he totally captivated the crowd. Now, David can tell me, you know, his thoughts here after the break, but he totally captivated that crowd and quieted the entire, you could have heard a plastic straw fall to the ground. It got that quiet. And then he forced the crowd to their feet with a standing ovation. And I think it was some of the questions that David Noble was asking that elicited some of this great back and forth as well. So David Noble, stand by if you can, and we'll come back to you right after this quick break here on Montana Talks.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I checked in with David Noble during the break there, and David had to get back to his day job. He's got a very busy day job. You know, he works as an attorney in Billings. Grew up in Manhattan, Montana, but then works as an attorney in Billings now. But he has his Twitch TV podcast at LexerFan. So, but anyways, great to get a phone call from him there. But he did have to run and get back to work. But yeah, no, it was interesting because I was interested in hearing David Noble's take, because I know David was one of those guys who was a little more skeptical of Tim Sheehy when Tim Sheehy first started, popping up on the scene. I've known, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy for several years, got to know him and his family when they first got out of the military and first started their businesses here in Montana. So I've been impressed with Sheehy. I've known he's the real deal for some time now. But yeah, for most people across Montana, he's a political newcomer. He's not a political hack who's been, desperately running for this office and then that office and then this office and then that office. And, he doesn't run for every office under the sun. So they're like, well, who is this guy? Because he hasn't been trying to run for every single political seat out there. And it was crazy because David had just wrapped up. They had all eight of the Eastern Montana congressional candidates for the Eastern Congressional District. I thought that they were just going to have each of them give their 3 minute, spiel pitch, and then they'd move on for the night. But no, they had like 4 or 5 rounds of questions where they all got to answer and fairly lengthy responses. So by the time it finally got to the keynote portion of the event where, Tim Sheehy, the GOP Senate candidate, was going to be talking and had this Q&A session, it was getting late in the evening. And so, everybody's kind of standing up, stretching their legs, maybe getting a beverage or talking to, the great room of people. So it was loud in there. People were kind of scattered. And then literally within the first couple of minutes, as he started sharing his compelling message, everybody was quiet. You could hear a pin drop in that place. And then just some of the powerful remarks he delivered. He talked about the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and what a betrayal it was for our entire country and the men and women who've been sacrificing for the past 20 plus years. What a betrayal that was, and how that's what compelled him to run. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So it was great to hear David Noble's reaction there. I mentioned we had this roundtable discussion that I got to take part in on Friday afternoon with Senator Steve Daines. He was actually supposed to be at the roundtable discussion, but instead we had him on like a video screen doing like a video chat, and the rest of us were at the cafe inside the Ace Hardware location. The reason he was on video was because he was planning on being at the dinner Friday night. He was planning on being here in studio with us right now. But now he's on a flight back to Washington, D.C. But anyway, Senator Daines was supposed to be with us in studio. He was supposed to be in person at those events on Friday, but he stayed back in Washington, D.C. so he could vote against FISA, so he could vote against Section 702. And he did that very thing. He voted against the reauthorization of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence and Surveillance Act. He said, quote, "While there is no question that the United States should collect intelligence on suspected terrorists who are overseas, and may be communicating with individuals in our country, the federal government should not be using foreign intelligence powers to collect Americans' personal data. Yet time after time, we have seen FISA abused and Americans' information unacceptably accessed without a warrant. So he stayed behind to vote against Section 702 and FISA. And the crowd appreciated that with applause on Friday night. All right, real quick here, and then we'll get back to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. I mentioned we had this roundtable discussion on Friday. Got a chance to catch up with a few of the participants in that roundtable discussion afterwards. Here's one of the conversations I was able to have after the roundtable event.
We just wrapped up the roundtable discussion with U.S. Senator Steve Daines and Brandon Whitman. You know, I'm a member of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative.
Yes.
You guys have kept our electric rates down, which is incredible, because across the country, electricity inflation is up 30%.
Yes.
But yet, even though you're making the right calls here in Montana, we're facing some national economic headwinds.
We are, and it's getting honestly harder and harder to deal. I mean, we did have a 4% rate increase last year, first one in 12 years. But we just came from a meeting where both of our power suppliers have told us they're going to raise their rates. And that's 55% of our total expense. So they told us to expect an increase in 2025, which means we'll have to react to that somehow. It'll probably be low single digits again, but that whole reliable, affordable thing, the affordable part is getting harder and harder for everyone as we go along here. And you know, it's every input cost we have. It's not just power, it's fuel. It's all the material we use, transformers, poles, wires. It's all gone up significantly over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, whether it's bucket trucks or power poles, you shared some crazy numbers today.
I did, yeah. A pole, a standard pole used to be $700 2 years ago. It's $1,100 today. A transformer used to be $1,500. It's almost $6,000 today. So those things have changed a lot. And that's just in a short period of time, 2-3 years.
Wow. And then that all flows right downstream to those of us that have homes, farms, ranches, businesses.
Absolutely, yeah. We try to cash flow as much of that as we can, but at some point in time, you got to bite the bullet, and you know there's only one way to increase revenue typically, and it's to raise rates.
Well, thanks for sharing your perspective today.
Thank you.
Great to
appreciate
see
it.
You.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Grandpa Lou in Billings next up on the phone lines. Grandpa Lou, great to see you Friday night.
I just wanted to comment, too, that, man, what an outstanding, outstanding dinner and talk with all of our candidates and stuff. The place was just packed to the rafters, and I just want to say that I'm totally proud to call every single person in that room, you know, a friend. And I thought David Noble did an outstanding job. You know, a lot of them, congressional candidates, they're from different parts of the eastern part of the state, and they're hard to get to know to, and I just thought it was an outstanding little discussion, and after listening to all of those, I think it's clear to me that it's down to a two-person race. And
So there's eight candidates in the Republican primary in the Eastern Congressional District, and the going line of thinking is that it's such a safe Republican district because Eastern Montana is so heavily conservative that whoever wins the Republican primary will be the next congressman for Eastern Montana. Who do you think it's coming? You said you think it's coming down to a two-person race. Who do you think it's coming down to?
In my opinion, I think it's coming down to Stacey Zinn and,
did you forget the other one, huh?
Troy Downing. I think it's coming down to those two, but that's my personal opinion. But the other four or five would do an outstanding job too, but it's down to those two. And I just wanted to, visit a little bit about the Tim Sheehy and his little talk with everybody, and you're absolutely correct, man. If there's not a more honest, giving, caring person, it's and at the end of his little talk, and he was talking about his combat experiences and stuff. And if you didn't have a tear in your eye, man, you didn't have a heart, man.
It was powerful.
You understand? And
it was powerful stuff. And
I couldn't be more honored to call him friend.
Well, yeah, well, Grandpa Lou, I know you're a Marine Corps veteran, but here's my thing. And, you know, I had the blessing and the honor to get to serve with the best of the best in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. And so you get it. I get it. We get it right. We get the sacrifice and the intensity, especially for a combat veteran like Tim Sheehy. But I think other Montanans get it, too. I don't think, you know, there's over 100,000 veterans in this state. But think about how many, you know, how many spouses of veterans there are on top of that. How many kids, you know, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, who, and the point that Tim Sheehy made, he said, you know, it's harder being home because his wife deployed. He had to be the spouse back at home while his wife was deployed. He said it was easier for me being in combat than it was being the one back at home, not knowing if your spouse was going to make it home. And so you get it. I get it. But I think our fellow Montanans get it as well, because they've gotten a sense of that. And I remember when I was deployed to Afghanistan, I think I called in David Berg. I used to have Berg in the Morning back in the day, a show that I had eventually hosted. They ended up changing the name, kind of changing the show. But David Berg did a great job over the years. And I got to join him. I called in from Afghanistan and got the nicest phone call from my aunt from her ranch in Afghanistan. And it was so cool, you know, and you could just hear her concern and the care in her voice. So families get it. So there might be over 100,000 veterans. They when they see these BS attacks being leveled against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, you don't have to just be a combat veteran to get it, And when we talk about the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, and as Tim Sheehy talked about, they asked young men and women to decide which baby lives and which baby dies, which baby you pull over the fence, which baby you leave behind, as Joe Biden and John Tester left hundreds of American citizens and our friends behind during that disastrous withdrawal. People get it. And oh, by the way, what are the Democrats now trying to say? Well, Tim Sheehy, he lied. He took a bullet for his men. And he stayed quiet about it to protect his men. And oh, by the way, the dearly beloved Mike Mansfield, he lied. He lied so that he could serve his country in World War I. And you know what? We respected him for that, too.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Last week, the Bureau of Land Management released final text of its conservation landscape health rule that reimagines the agency's requirements to manage lands for multiple uses, including livestock grazing across the West. I spoke with Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the National Public Lands Council, on the issue in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
The short version here, Lane, is that we saw the final rule. All of our concerns, although the text looks a little bit different now, all of our concerns are really moving forward in this final rule. And so as we dive deeper into this lengthy text, we're going to be taking a hard look at some of the most concerning pieces.
Now, last week, just the draft text of the BLM public lands rule, as it's now called, was released. It's expected to be put into the Federal Register later today. From there, the Public Lands Council may seek legal action against it, as they say it runs counter to the agency's multiple-use mandate under the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, or FLPMA. I actually saw BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning in the airport out in Washington, D.C. as I was traveling home this weekend. I was not able to secure a comment from her on the BLM's new rule that, again, is being published today, Earth Day, in the Federal Register. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, another cool thing that I got to do this weekend. You guys have been hearing me talk a little bit about These events that I've been doing, paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana, as we've been traveling all across the state, going to restaurants, cafes, hardware stores, gyms, you name it, fighting inflation. That's why we'll go to a gym. We'll go to a gym and do a fight inflation event. Saturday night, we went out to On the Rocks in Warden, Montana, and I got to have one of their big steaks. My goodness, was that a good steak. But, you know they're going to have good steaks there because the restaurant is owned by the Goggins family, a big name in Montana agriculture and been part of the Montana Stock Growers Association over the years. He was at a sale in Great Falls, but John Goggins actually made it back to Warden while we were still out there for our dinner time event. So I got to catch up with him as well and talk about inflation and more. So I'll share that conversation with you here in a few minutes because he had some interesting points to make when it comes to the topic of agriculture and how the ag community, especially the ranching community, needs to unite and not be so divided. So I'll share that here in just a second. But first, let's go back to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Francis in Big Fork, great to hear from you.
Yes. Well, I'm always glad to talk to you. You're always so fun. And one of my friends just went through Kalispell, and she said that yesterday, and they were protesting in front of for Gaza, in front of the statue where our soldiers are. Hmm. And that would just really irk me, because I think they should arrest them and throw them. If they like Palestine, go over there then.
Well, they have free speech rights.
I know.
Yep. So we can't necessarily arrest them just because we disagree with them. Now, they do that to us, though, right? Peaceful pro-life protesters have been put behind bars under this administration.
All kinds of them.
Yeah.
And you know, like they want to do that FISA thing where they want to take all your rights away, that they can just land in your house without a warrant and arrest you. And that's awful.
You know, I was in Plentywood, your hometown of Plentywood, Montana, for the Daniels County Lincoln Reagan dinner event there, and they had the dinner at the Catholic Church, so in their, kind of their big banquet hall there, right?
Yeah.
And so I had joked with everybody. I said, hey, if anybody wants video of tonight's event, Attorney General Merrick Garland has installed surveillance cameras several months ago inside the Catholic Church, so you can request video later of any of the speakers from tonight. And it's funny because I thought that might be too inside baseball of a joke, but no, people got it. Because, yeah, it's so crazy. Under this administration, they will throw peaceful pro-life protesters behind bars. But meanwhile, we see Jewish students getting poked in the eye with Palestinian flags. Polls. We see young white leftist college students urging terror groups to target their fellow Jewish students on campus. It is absolute evil on full display right now.
Yeah, especially these colleges. It's insane. And, it isn't right that Jewish students have to hide in their rooms because it isn't safe to walk out.
No,
most of them are forced to do Zoom to their classes. In this country, we need to pray a lot.
That's right. Yeah, for those who haven't heard the news story at Columbia University, where these horrific attacks are taking place against Jewish students or people who go there to defend our friends in Israel. They're taking place. Columbia University is one of those locations, and they are doing remote classes today because of the security concerns facing their Jewish students. A prominent rabbi actually encouraged kids to go home, basically saying that we cannot guarantee your safety right now. Todd Starnes, on his toddstarnes.com website, has a report. It was a rabbi, is it Eli Buchler, if I pronounced the name right there. The events of the last few days, especially last night, have made it clear that Columbia University's public safety and the NYPD cannot guarantee Jewish students' safety in the face of extreme anti-Semitism and anarchy. It deeply pains me to say that I would strongly recommend you return home as soon as possible and remain home until the reality in and around campus has dramatically improved. That's how bad the situation has gotten there. Meanwhile, of course, Donald J. Trump is the one who is being forced to show up in court today. No, not these pro-terrorist sympathizers. Not the people calling for death and violence against their fellow Jewish students. They're not the ones showing up in court today. No, Donald J. Trump is forced into court today once again in New York City. Francis, thanks for the call. 406-294-0970. Let's see. I got a chance to catch up with John Goggins at On the Rocks on Saturday night. And, man, I tell you what, we just had a great steak. And the place was packed. It was so cool just running into some of our listeners heard I was going to be there. So they showed up. And then others were like, oh, man, hey, that's cool. In fact, ran into a guy who now lives out in the Warden area. He's from the Malta area originally, but now ranches outside of Warden. So it was just, they had a fun group of young folks with them. But yeah, anyway, let's see. Let me get this audio pulled up for you here. I started off by talking about how great the restaurant is and how much we've been enjoying the food.
You know, it's interesting talking about, you know, government spending, government policies, inflation. We see it all across the board, but, you know, it's crazy. Like in the cattle business, you get good prices, but you got all these other high input prices and everything make it hard to capitalize on those high prices. But same thing kind of for the rest of us. Montana's doing better than the rest of the country, but yet we face these national headwinds.
No, it really is. And the egg prices need to be this way right now. I would say all these costs have gone up, the interest rates, inflation. It makes it tough to do business like you need to do it when you deal in volume numbers of cattle and taking them clear to the feedlot and race on. But it's tough for some of these people to get through it. And there, a lot of these ranchers, they're still selling all of their heifer calves instead of keeping them to breed them. And that's why our expansion's not happening, which is also going to help us to let this higher prices last for a lot longer than maybe any of us have ever seen them on these cycles in our lifetimes, at least for us. So we're in the driver's seat. We need to change some things in the way that the cattle people are able to get access to capital, especially the young people, but everybody in general it's too hard to walk into a banker as a young person and say, I need to buy or lease 1, 2, 3,000 acres, and I need to buy 300 cows. To you know, they kind of laugh at you and go, "Wait."
It's harder to get that young generation.
It's hard,
and right
that's why our average age in agriculture, especially in the cow end of things, has gotten so old. Because there's not enough money to bring that next generation back into the ranch, make ranches multi-generational, and that's what we've got a big push going on through right now with the Montana Stock Growers Association and all of the auction markets in Montana.
You talk about the need for unity. What's the most important bottom line message about why the ag industry needs to unite, especially about federal policies?
Well, we need to have some help in Washington. We have four kind of major livestock industries. You've got NCBA, and you've got U.S. Cattlemen's, and RCAP, and Farm Bureau. I mean, there's just so many, and no one can agree on every subject on what we want to change in D.C. And I think the unification process on making capital more accessible to the ranching side of things, you know, and almost getting a little bit more on the same level playing field as what the farm industry is doing.
That's right.
It's a lot easier to go to a bank and say, I need to do this, when you know what your guarantees, what you can lock in and come back. And we're getting too old, and there's too many ranches getting sold because the kids don't want to come back, and the
our country's kind of on the rocks right now, but we're rocking and rolling here at On the Rocks.
Yeah.
And Mr. Goggins, we thank you for your time.
No,
and great,
I appreciate it. We really enjoy
so.
You guys coming out. Yeah. We appreciate it a lot.
Great people out here, so
yeah,
thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate your time.
Appreciate
all right.
Yeah, we had a great time out there. We were out there more around breakfast time. What was it, a month or so ago, our friends from Nemont We're installing some new fiber, getting some more broadband up and running out there in the Warden area. So we did a special show live from On the Rocks. And so got to go back for dinner on Saturday night and had a fun event. So we thank them for their hospitality. Quick break, shortest break of the hour. We've got phone lines open for you right now. If you got something you want to share, call in right now. I should be able to get to you before we run out of time. 406-294-0970. Or you can send us a quick message on the Montana Talks app. But better to hear it in your own voice. So give us a call if you want to. 294-0970. Lots more to talk about, that's for sure. Stand by, back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, there was some other news that came out Friday after we wrapped up our show. SB 442, Senate Bill 442, that's a topic that we had covered on a few different occasions here over the last 2-3 weeks or so. We had folks on both sides of that topic call into the show, or even some people who supported SB 442 during the legislative session about 1 year ago, but did not like the fact that the liberal judges here in Montana were wading into legislative affairs. So even if they supported SB 442 a year ago, they weren't going to vote to override the governor's veto because of this unprecedented interference coming out of the courts here in Montana. Anyway, if you missed the news, Secretary of State Christy Jacobson released the veto polling results on Friday, I think late Friday morning or early Friday afternoon, with only 24 Montana senators and 41 Montana representatives voting for an override. The veto override failed. Several legislators returned their ballot packets indicating their refusal to participate in this unprecedented veto polling procedure. Many included letters to the secretary providing their reasoning. Other legislators refused to sign for their ballot packet, and several others went unclaimed. So basically, a number of lawmakers refused to even take part in this whole sham of a process that was forced upon the state by an activist judge and by a left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, providing cover fire throughout, of course. Anyway, Jonathan Ambarian with the Montana Television Network shared this via X, platform formerly known as Twitter, on Friday. After almost a year of uncertainty, a bill that would have changed how Montana marijuana revenue is distributed is now dead. State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson made the point that SB 442 died on May 2nd of 2023 after State Senator Flowers, a Democrat, made a successful sine-die motion, not only killing SB 442, but several other bills. Senator Hertz added, if you're going to make a sine-die motion, you need to know what bills are still in play. He did not, and killed SB 442. And then the Helena IR had this headline, legislature's veto override fails amid inter-branch dispute. So that's kind of the latest on that story. Let's see, 406-294-0970, the number for you. Other big news that took place over the weekend, I mentioned the FISA vote. Senator Steve Daines stayed behind in Washington, D.C. He was supposed to be at a couple of different events in Billings on Friday, but he stayed back because he wanted to vote against government surveillance and government overreach and the government spying on their political opponents. Particularly, we've seen how FISA has been weaponized against President Trump and his supporters. So good move by Senator Steve Daines to stay back to vote against that. Unfortunately, it is moving forward. But I did see Senator Mike Lee had a great tweet over the weekend where he says you could actually still leverage a huge chunk of Senate Republicans to still try to bring that to a halt. That's what Mike Lee shared via Twitter over the weekend. Now, the massive foreign aid spending. Did you guys see all of these politicians in the House of Representatives? Mostly Democrats, but it wasn't all Democrats. They were waving a foreign flag on the floor of the House of Representatives. Wasn't that just shameful? Absolutely shameful. I mean, they won't secure our own southern border, but here they are cheering as they send billions of your dollars to some other country, waving their flag on the floor of our House of Representatives. Derek Van Orden, Navy SEAL member of Congress out of Wisconsin, he said this: I don't care how you feel about a piece of legislation, no member of the United States Congress should be waving a flag of another country on the House floor. What took place today was unacceptable. Now, meanwhile, Congressman Ryan Zinke, he's from the Western Congressional District, he voted against the Ukraine aid spending. So did, of course, Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale from the Eastern Congressional District. Zinke also voted against the so-called Israeli aid package. The reason I say the so-called Israeli aid package is because this Israeli aid package included billions of dollars of your money to go to the terrorists in the Gaza Strip. Why are we funding both sides of this war? We support Israel. We stand with Israel. But why in the world would we send a dollar into the Gaza Strip and we know it's going to fall into the hands of these terrorists? Ryan Zinke said no on Gaza aid. I stand with Israel, but $9 billion to our enemies while our ally is under fire is non-negotiable. He also voted against the Ukraine aid spending and specifically mentioned the fact that our own southern border is still completely wide open. And in his response to voting against that massive spending package as well. All right, let's see. Coming up on Tuesday's show, a lot more time to take your phone calls. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Hey, the great part is even though the show is wrapping up right now, you can message us through our Montana Talks app any point in the day.